How many of you, when you're in the car by yourself, immediately turn on, or just already always have on, the radio? Well, I certainly do. In fact, I like listening to the radio so much, and I avoid silence so much, that even when I get in the shower, I have the radio going on. Anybody else do that? Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm not the only one. So it makes me wonder sometimes, especially when I read a story like this, when do I ever have complete quiet in my life? Our house is in a pretty busy place. There's a, you know, fairly busy road in front of us. We're right near the SkyTrain, so we hear it going by all day and part of the night. And then behind our house is a really busy road. We're right near the Queensboro Bridge, and so we hear the traffic. And you know what? We don't really notice any of that anymore because we've lived there a long time. But it's always noisy in some way. But rarely do I just listen to nothing. Now, I know some of you crave that quiet and silence. Some of us take walks along the seawall or in the park or the woods or the neighborhood, and we get some quiet time, right? Or take a bike ride, or perhaps drive a little ways and get out into the woods. Some of us look forward to this time of year because we do get out of the city and have some more quiet. Is that true? Yeah. And some of us, I'm one of them, I look forward to the peace and quiet, but I'm also kind of afraid of it. I'm not always comfortable with quiet, with silence. Something that one of the preachers that I admire most, Barbara Brown Taylor, said once is that the most unfortunate side effect of all the noise in our world is that many of us have become hard of hearing. Our brains protect us from the daily barrage of words and noise by increasing our resistance to them. It's like if you live in a noisy house, you'd learn to tune it out. And then the question becomes, what do you hear at all? Now, I have a guess. I'm guessing that many of us come to church on Sunday morning actually hoping, if not expecting, hoping to hear a word from God. Is that true? Yeah. Many of us hope to hear a divine word, a word from the source of love. But lots of us have trouble listening to God. Many of us prefer to do the speaking. I am certainly one of those loudmouth people. Sometimes our prayers are so wordy, we spend so much time doing the talking, that I'm not sure God has a chance to say much to us. What would happen if we remembered that talking with God is a two-way conversation? Sometimes we do all the talking because we're afraid that God won't say anything. Have you ever been in an awkward conversation where there's a little lull and no one's sure what to say, and we start to sweat and get nervous, and it just feels awkward, and gotta say something. You can't just let it be quiet. Salespeople know this, right? I've heard salespeople say, or people who are in a negotiation, whoever speaks first loses. Have you heard that? Silence is powerful, but it's also scary. And today, Sandy gave us some good advice. It took a little sorting out, and if you didn't quite follow the story, that's okay. We'll kind of retell it a little bit. Now, many of you probably heard the name Elijah. Elijah is known as the greatest of prophets, right beside Moses anyway. Alongside Moses, Elijah is a great, great prophet. And when we get to the reading that we had today, he had just come back from a very successful campaign. He had been in battle with other prophets, false prophets of a false god, and he had totally defeated them. He was flying high. But when he came home, he heard that the queen was so upset that her prophets, the prophets that she was trying to follow, had been defeated, that she said, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you." And instead of all that courage and success that he had just had helping him to be strong in that situation, Elijah was terrified. And he runs away. He runs way out into the wilderness. And he keeps going. For more than a day, he travels out into the wilderness. And he finally takes refuge under a tree. And he says, "God, just let me die here." Now, that's kind of funny, don't you think? If you're running away so that you don't get killed, but then you just say, "God, let me die here." He was feeling very sorry for himself. Really just whining. And he hears a voice ask him, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" He says, "Well, I've done all this work for God, and I've been a good prophet. And now, my enemy is coming after me." And he senses the voice say, "Go." Well, actually, before that, God sends a messenger to feed him. He's not all alone. He's not abandoned. God sends an angel to feed him. And then God says, "I'm going to come near to you. You're going to feel my presence." This is very special. Very few people get to have a direct encounter with God. Moses did, and this is a lot like that. Because the voice says, "Go up to the mountain of God," the same mountain that Moses went up. Sometimes it's called Horeb, sometimes it's called Sinai. Same mountain. Get up there and listen and wait. And so he did. And there was this huge wind. When have we heard about a wind lately? Anybody remember? A few weeks ago, we were talking about a big wind, the Spirit of God. Well, this time Elijah hears the wind, but God was not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake. Pretty much every time there's an earthquake in the Bible, that's God, right? That's one of the signs of God being there. But this time, nope. God was not in the earthquake. And then there's even fire. He sees fire. But God was not in the fire either. Like God was in the fire for the Israelites when they trampled through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. But not this time. No, God was not in the fire. And then there was silence. A deep silence. One translation says sheer silence. Another translation might be a scream of silence. Have you heard that phrase? Deafening silence. Have you ever stopped and made space in your life to hear deafening silence? True, deep silence. Some of us who like to talk avoid that kind of silence. But some of you know. Maybe most of us know at some point in our life the power of silence. It's only after the storm, after the earthquake, after the fire, that Elijah is able to know God's deep presence in the silence. And after that, God asks Elijah again, "What are you doing here?" And he says the same thing, "I've been a good prophet. I've worked hard. But now I'm in trouble." And God tells him to go to a new place and to start something new, something scary. He's supposed to crown a new king. There's already a king, King Ahab, and a queen, Queen Jezebel. But God's about to do something new with a new king. And Elijah is told to get on with it. Maybe that's why sometimes we avoid silence, because we know God might give us that nudge we were talking about earlier. And sometimes it's a big shove instead of just a little nudge. But Elijah did that. And he didn't get killed. He was okay. This summer might be a good opportunity for some of us to slow down and listen to the silence a little bit more. I start my vacation next week, and I'm going to a place where it's a lot easier to be quiet than it is at home. Karen and I are going to Nova Scotia, where my dad grew up, and we're going with my dad to spend some time in Cape Breton by the river, and it gets really quiet there, like so quiet, like you never hear here, and I'm going to try hard to resist the temptation to always talk. My dad and I both really like to talk. But some of the time we're going to walk or just be quiet going to float on the water and be quiet. I have learned slowly over the years to learn to be quiet. It's not easy. But it's a way of praying, of listening to God. And so we don't do a lot of silence at our church services on Sunday morning. We have little bits of silence usually. But today we're going to try something a little bit longer. And Costa's going to help us get into some silence by easing us in with some lovely music. But then we're going to have 3 or 4 minutes of quiet. Now, there'll be some pictures of some familiar waters that might help you. Or you might want to look at the candle. Or some of us might close our eyes and be in the silence. But I want to invite you to enter into a meditative silence, a silent prayer. And so I'm going to sit down, but I'll use this microphone to say a few more words. So if I turn it on, I invite you to get, hopefully you're already comfortable, but be as comfortable as you can. And be aware of the ground beneath us, the pews and chairs supporting us. And be aware of your breath. In centering prayer, when we're quiet and reaching out for God, sometimes if we get distracted, it's helpful to have one word, a centering word that helps us to focus back again on God's presence. So you can choose your own word, but if you would like one, you might try silence or peace. Let us pray.